Hello, everyone, and welcome to another J Talk Extra Time podcast. My name is Stuart Smith, and I'm here to get you up to date with how things stand in the aftermath of Japan's Golden Week holiday set of games. We'll start at the top, where we now have a three-way battle for top spot after Kyoto Sanga beat Monterio Yamagata to record their seventh win from their last eight games. Daigo Araki's first half goal, a really well-worked goal at that after a fine passing move, was enough to seal the win at Sanga Stadium, and Choki J's team is shaping up very nicely indeed at the moment. The reason it is tight at the top now is that the top two both drew at the weekend. Leaders Albrecht's Niigata were held to a 0-0 draw by improving Matsumoto Yamaga, the first time they've been held goalless all year. And it could have been worse for Niigata, as Matsumoto hit the crossbar twice. But Niigata also had chances. Kaito Taniguchi had a few of his own, but the defences reigned supreme at the Big Swan, and it finished 0-0. FC Ryukyu are the third team in this three-way at the top, and they took a first-half lead at Ehime FC through an ice-cool Koki Kiyotake finish, his fourth of an impressive campaign so far. But Yoshiki Fujimoto's second-half header was enough to ensure a share of the spoils, I should say, for Noritada Saneyoshi's slowly improving side. In the last four games, Ehime have played the current top four, so one imagines that they will be eyeing up some potential point-gaining opportunities in the next few weeks. For Ryukyu, while this point might look like two dropped, and to a certain extent they are, but they will feel slightly unfortunate to come up against a team in the midst of a new manager bounce. The top three battle is shaping up very nicely indeed. Jubilo Iwata remain in fourth, but they needed a dramatic additional time equaliser to salvage a point away at Blaublitz Akita. Yuji Wakasa's cool finish gave Akita a first half lead, but the home side were unable to see things out as a Yuki Otsu, remember him, pounced from close range in the 93rd minute to claim a 1-1 draw. Now, Jubilo have dropped points against Ehime and Akita in the last 2 weeks, two teams that they really need to be beating if they are to call themselves promotion challengers, and they'll need to start putting a consistent run of results together against these kind of middle and lower reach teams, because they have a run of these teams coming up. But at the moment, it's very difficult to rely on Jubilo being anything like consistent. Vanfori Corfu are in sixth. They seem to always be in sixth whenever I look at the table. Doesn't really matter what year it is. After their 2-0 win against a very lackluster Tokyo Verdy. Early second half goals from substitutes Kazushi Mitsuhira and rookie Yoshiki Torikai mean that Corfu exit the Golden Week with 7 points from a possible 9. Not too shabby at all. While Machida Zelvia were held to a 1-1 draw by their neighbours Sagami Hara. Shohei Kiyohara's equaliser for Sagamihara cancelling out an early Ryu Kawakami own goal to ensure a share of the spoils. Machida sits in 7th despite missing out on a chance to record a 5th win from 6, while Sagamihara on the other hand have only 1 win to show from their last 9 attempts. It's probably about time that they started to rectify that situation. At the bottom is... Omiya Ardija. Now, not so long ago, the Squirrels were either a J1 side or a team challenging for promotion from J2 to J1, but they now prop up J2 after conceding an additional time equaliser to concede a draw at Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma. This game, from looking at it, was impacted by high winds, but it was the sight of Omiya goalkeeper Philip Klaic being stretchered off after his knee seemingly gave way, which was the worst sight of this particular game. I'm sure everybody hopes for the best, but the speed at which he was kind of taken off and immediately ruled out doesn't bode well. I hope he gets better soon. Takashi Kasahara replaced Kleich in goal, and he produced a stunning one-handed save to keep out a Tatsuya Uchida header and keep the game scoreless. Scoreless until the 75th minute, that was, when Masatoshi Ono thumped in a brilliant 25-yard rocket to put Omiya ahead. But in the 92nd minute, Genki Omae's corner was headed in by Gunma forward Toshiya Tanaka to deflate Ken Iwase's side. To be honest, Iwase looked a bit shell-shocked after the game, and you have to wonder how much time he'll be given to fix things with next week's game against Fajiano Okayama at the NAC 5 home of Omiya suddenly shaping up as a must-win affair. Giravans Kita Kyushu also sit in the relegation zone. That's after Shunya Yoneda's additional time winner for Viva and Nagasaki ensured that they remain winless at their Mikuni World Stadium home in 2021. Nagasaki were objectively the better team in this one, but it took Yoneda's sweeping finish to establish scoreboard supremacy and to ensure that Hiroshi Matsuda got the first win of his tenure. Giravans have now lost four and drawn three of their seven home games thus far in 2021. Their next home game, Omiya Ardija, which is coming up in 2 weeks' time. Yikes. Elsewhere in J2, the points were shared in the Kita Kanto Derby between Mito Hollyhock and Tochigi SC. Tochigi's rising star Toshiki Mori put the visitors ahead, only for an own goal to level things up for Mito. Jeff United Chiba demolished Fajiano Okayama 4-2 at home with goals from Saldania, I think that was his first in the J-League, Itsuki Oda in the first half, and Takayuki Funiyama and Tomoya Miki in the second, giving Jeff a second consecutive win. And finally, Renofu Yamaguchi ran out 1-0 winners at Tsuegen Kanazawa on the back of an early goal from Tsubasa Umeki, the youngster's first ever J-League goal, although the mood did sour for Renofu this week when it was confirmed that their midfielder Kensuke Sato will miss the next month due to injury. Kanazawa, however, have now lost their last three and have only won once in the last seven. Maybe a little bit of pressure getting to Tsuegen manager Masaki Yanagishita. As we look forward to the next round, there seems to be no one standout game. Those are coming in the following week, spoiler alert. But leaders Albrecht Niigata head to Machida Zelvia, Ryukyu welcome Tochigi to the islands, and Kyoto host the violently unpredictable Mito Hollyhock. Omiya desperately need a win, and when they entertain Fajiano Okayama, Kita Kyushu might be thankful that they are on the road as they travel to the capital to face the Tokyo Verde side that have only won one of their last six. And Ehime will look to get their first win for their new manager, Noritada Sanayoshi, as they make the very long trip north to play Montedio Yamagata, a reunion for Kenta Kawai, who's now on the Montedio Yamagata coaching staff after being the Ehime coach up until the end of last year. That's all from me. Thank you very much to all the Patreons and to everyone who listens to this podcast. I'm going to throw this over to Magic Mike Innes and see what he has to say. But until next time, thank you for listening and stay tuned for Mike. J-Talk Extra
Time. Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on the local matches in which a number of J3 teams were looking to qualify for the Emperor's Cup, and previewing games coming up in Round 8. Before the main business, a quick look at some items of J3 news since the last pod. Having sacked coach Riki Takagi, Gainari Tottori have moved quickly to appoint as his successor Kim Jong-song. Kim will be known to J3 watchers as the coach in 2019 and 2020 at Kagoshima United, and prior to that he was in charge at FC Ryukyu. As he takes over, Gainari sit a very disappointing 12th in the table with 7 points from their opening 7 games. The J-League have confirmed the winners of the 3 monthly awards for April. J3 Player of the Month is Tegevajaro Miyazaki forward Kaito Umeda, who also won the Divisional Goal of the Month for his long-range shot against Roasso Kumamoto in Round 4. Coach of the Month goes to Yutaka Akita of Shock Divisional leaders Iwate Gurugia Morioka. Congratulations to both Umeda and Akita. Now on to the weekend's action, and although there were no league fixtures, the majority of J3 clubs took part in the finals of prefectural tournaments, victory in which would see them join Iwate and Tottori in the first round proper of the Emperor's Cup. On Saturday the 8th, things were in danger of getting existentially meta as FC Gifu fielded a weakened team against their own reserves, known as FC Gifu Second. But the space-time continuum remained intact as the firsts won 2-0, thanks to goals from Leleu, cutting in from the right-hand side to finish in the 13th minute, and Yuta Togashi, who sealed the win with a 78th-minute diving header. Gifu have a tough first-round tie in prospect against Honda FC. The remaining games were on Sunday the 9th, two J3 sides coasting past regional league opposition. FC Imabari beat Lubeni Rosso NC 5-1 and Katare Toyama overcame Toyama Shinjo Club 5-0. For Imabari, recent signings Valdemar and Oscar Linton both started for the first time and both ended up on the score sheet. Lubeni Rosso couldn't cope with set plays or crosses and all of Imabari's goals came from one or other of those routes. Valdemar getting a hat-trick, Oscar Linton and Takuro Uehara contributing a goal apiece. The most spectacular moment, though, came in the 20th minute when Lubeni Rosso's ex-Imabari forward Taiki Katsura levelled the score at 1-1 with a superb first-time volley. Overall, though, it was straightforward for Imabari, who in the first round have a derby with Ehime FC to look forward to. Promotion-chasing Toyama, meanwhile, dominated their match against Shinjo Club. Tsubasa Yoshihira scored the first two, the opener a penalty, the second a close-range finish following a cross from the right. The best goal of the game was the third, a sweeping counter-attack which began inside Katari's penalty area and ended with Nobuyuki Shina clipping the ball round the keeper from 15 yards. Reserve midfielder Hiroki Todaka and defender Issei Tone completed the scoring, and in the first round, Nobuyuki Ishizaki's team play FC Hokuriku. AC Nagano Paseiro made harder work of their game against regional league opposition in Artista Asama. It finished 1-0 at the Nagano U Stadium, Ryuhei Yamamoto finishing off a team move with a curling shot from just inside the area for the only goal on 61 minutes. And although Nagano had the majority of the game, Asama did miss a penalty. Nagano go through to play Niigata University of Health and Welfare in the first round. There was something of a physical battle to endure for Kagoshima United against their opponents from the National Institute of Fitness and Sports at Kanoya. Two players from Arthur Pappas's team, Taku Ushinohama and Junya Nodake, had to be taken off inside the first 17 minutes, but a goal by Takuma Sonoda just before the break gave Kagoshima a half-time lead. Further strikes by Sonoda and substitute Kaito Miyake meant that Kagoshima ran out 3-0 winners, although not before sub Noriyuki Sakemoto was given a straight red card from the bench. Kagoshima meet MD Nagasaki in the first round. Vanrare Hachinohe continued their encouraging start to the season by beating Reinmeer Aomori of the JFL. The goals came from Koki Maezawa early in the second half, and a second in two games for Takumi Shimada to round things off in stoppage time. Final score, Hachinohe 2, Reinmeer Aomori 0, with Vanrare going on to play Akita company side Saruta Kogyo in the first round. The two teams at the bottom of J3 both pulled off victories against university opposition. YSCC Yokohama's game with Toin Yokohama University looked like it was heading for a penalty shootout, but YSCC took the tie by means of two goals in the first half of extra time. The first came when Umemi Kanda burst into the penalty box and struck a fierce angled shot past the keeper. The second when Atsushi Kikutani played the overlapping Kenta Ichimiya in on goal for a comfortable chipped finish. In the first round, YSCC meet Ryutsu Keizai University. Matched up against Takamatsu University, Kamatamari Sanuki were two up inside 8 minutes through Kentaro Shigematsu and Shunta Nakamura. Yusuke Yano pulled a goal back for the students at the end of the first half, but the game ended Sanuki 2, Takamatsu University 1, putting Kamatamari through for a first-round tie against Kochi United. Young Paraguayan forward Jonathan Matsuoka made his first appearance in a Sanuki shirt, coming on as a second-half substitute. There were, however, defeats for a pair of J3 teams. Performing so impressively in their debut J-League campaign, Tegevajaro Miyazaki couldn't break the deadlock against their rivals from the JFL, Honda Lock. The game finished goalless, and Miyazaki then went down 5-4 on penalties, substitute Ryo Watanabe missing the decisive kick. And Iwaki FC were too much for Fukushima United at a very windy Toho Stadium. Hiroto Yukie had a shot cleared off the line after a brilliant header to set him up by Ismaila, but that was the nearest Fukushima came to scoring, and they were undone by a first-half brace from striker Hiroto Iwabuchi. It finished Fukushima 0, Iwaki 2. After cancelling their final due to coronavirus-related concerns, the Kumamoto FA have confirmed their prefectural representative will be Roasso Kumamoto, who take on Nippon Bunri University in the first round, where earlier qualifiers Iwate Guruja Morioka and Gainare Tottori will meet Oyama SC and FC Tokushima respectively. The first round ties are to be played on the weekend of the 22nd and 23rd of May. Normally at this point in the pod, I'd cover off the current league table, and seeing as there's been a single league game since the last episode, Gifu's 3-1 win over Numazu, as described by John Steele in last week's JTET, I'll just clarify that top of the pile are unbeaten Iwate with 14 points from 6 games, then it's Toyama with 14 from 7, Gifu and Miyazaki both with 13 from 7, and Kumamoto with 12 from 7. At the bottom, 4 teams have 7 points, and below them in 13th position are Imabari with 4 points from 6 games, then YSCC and Senuki both with 3 from 6. Just time now for a brief look ahead to matches in Round 8, with one game on Saturday the 15th of May and the others all scheduled for Sunday the 16th. On Saturday, there's a mid-table game at Kagoshima, where Fujieda are the visitors. Then on Sunday, it's first against third as Iwate host Gifu in the biggest match of the season so far. Second place Toyama have a good chance to pick up points at home to Numazu. Miyazaki are away at winless YSCC. Kumamoto are at home to Nagano, and I really don't want to speculate about a person losing their job, but this season we've already seen multiple examples across J2 and J3 of struggling clubs changing their managers, and Nagano are struggling. There are also two big local derbies, on Shikoku as Imabari take on Sanuki, and in Tohoku where Fukushima host Hachinohe. The team with a bye this week are Tottori, who return to action on Sunday the 23rd in the Emperor's Cup against FC Tokushima. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.